you might already know what you need to do to be happier. Living your values will make you happier. Do you know your values? Do you know what's important to you? Do you know what you believe? At Daleville Christian Church, each time we gather, we have an affirmation of our faith taken from God's Word. And for today, it's from Ephesians, the second chapter. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. The reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 23rd chapter, the 37th through the 39th verse. And we find Jesus speaking here. It's the end of the chapter. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Jesus is recorded by Matthew and Luke with this statement, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. One scholar calls it a lament. Now, a lament is a special sort of poem. Several of these were collected together for the Book of Lamentations. You understand, laments, lamentations, the Book of Lamentations in the Old Testament of the Bible. They are meant to express sorrow, but they also are meant to express unshakable faith. Laments also express an unshakable faith. And in this case, Jesus' words express an unshakable love and compassion. Love and compassion for the people of Jerusalem. I would remind you that it was the leaders of Jesus' people who contested Jesus most. And it was the leaders of Jesus' people who contested Jesus most frequently. Last week, we read how they demanded a sign from Jesus. The leadership, and not all the leaders, but surely a simple majority of the leaders of Jesus' people, asked Jesus questions in order to put him to the test. Or Jesus would say things or ask the leaders questions that they could not or would not answer. Or Jesus would make statements that the leadership or some of the leadership could not accept. I want to emphasize again that many of the problems Jesus encountered were with the leaders of the Jews, not the Jews themselves. For any Christian to dislike Jews is to misread the Bible. To claim that Jesus' people were Christ killers is a misreading of the book of Acts. In chapter 2 of the book of Acts, Peter accuses the people of Jerusalem of their collaboration in Jesus' death, and that crowd of Jews repents and believes in Jesus. Peter accuses not all Jews everywhere, and that crowd of Jews repents and believes in Jesus. Peter accuses not all Jews everywhere, but the Jews who were standing in front of him. And then in chapter 2, verse 41, we read, 3,000 repented and followed Jesus. This is important, especially for us, for Christians in America, to hear, since we have seen an increase in the number of hate groups and the acts of vandalism and violence against Jewish people in America. Even the gospel reports that it was some of the leaders who helped to stir up the crowds to cry, "Crucify him." And it helps us understand better these words of Jesus for the city of Jerusalem, the people of the city of Jerusalem. "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." 9 times in the Old Testament are references to the Lord God sheltering his people with wings. Jesus loves the people still, even though they have a history of rejecting God's prophets. The Lord God continued to try to move the people to be true to their God. Jesus told parables about it. The city, the leadership at that moment, as Jesus entered the city, this being Palm Sunday, when we remember Jesus' entrance into the city of Jerusalem to begin the events of what we now call Holy Week, Jesus came in the name of the Lord, that what we now call Palm Sunday, with crowds ahead of him and crowds behind him waving and shouting. But by Thursday night, in the nighttime, when there was no crowd, there was to be betrayal. Sinful men would arrest Jesus and they would hand Jesus over to the godless pagans. Jesus knew all that would happen. Jesus told the disciples it would all happen. The truth of Jesus' predictions did not affect Jesus. The truth of Jesus' predictions did not affect Jesus' compassion for his own people and his own capital city. Jesus was a son of David who would enter the city of David. Some scholars, even many scholars, and apparently many Christians, see Jesus' statement in verse 38, "Look, your house is left to you desolate," to mean that the Lord has abandoned Israel. But we see in the rest of the New Testament a hope for Israel. It was certainly the Apostle Paul's hope. And my old professor, W.D. Davies of Duke University Divinity School, also disagrees with many of those same scholars, saying that verse 39 points to the Messiah being welcomed when the time of repentance and reconciliation does come for Israel. And since that is what my professor at Duke Divinity School said, I must agree. You know, I also understand that Duke University has a really dandy basketball program. This hope that my professor saw for Jesus and Jesus' people, this hope abided for Israel in the apostles as well. And here we return to the topic of prayer for the Lenten season, the season before Easter, as Easter is next week. The apostle prays for his people, and the apostle states in Romans chapter 10, with regard to his own people, the Jews, Paul wrote, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation." Verse 18, "But I asked, did they not hear?" Yes, they did, Paul writes. "But I asked, did Israel not understand?" Paul writes. Verse 21, "But to Israel, he," the Lord says, "all day long I have spread out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people." Or don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? For Paul continued, how Elijah pleads with God concerning Israel, "Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to take my life." But what was God's reply to him? "I have left 7,000 men for myself." Verse 5, "In the same way then, there is also at the present time a remnant chosen by grace." Jesus will offer at his own crucifixion a prayer of forgiveness to those who are crucifying him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Or as I recall, the King James Version reads, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus knew what they were doing. Jesus knew that they were going to do it. Jesus prays for forgiveness. The prayer for forgiveness made the list of author Dave Early's book, The 21 Most Effective Prayers of the Bible. Early makes a case that not just the tormentors were forgiven in that moment of crucifixion when Jesus forgives them, but also Peter, who denied Jesus the night before. Jesus' disciples, who the night before, two nights before, forsook him and then fled from Jesus. The 3,000 Jews in Jerusalem, when they believed and accepted that forgiveness, were forgiven with the forgiveness offered by Jesus at the cross. "Father, forgive them." And the thief on the cross next to Jesus? Luke records that Jesus tells that one, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That thief had confessed his sin. We are rightly being condemned for our crimes and justly punished. And then sees Jesus as king, saying, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom." Author and evangelist Jason Friend, author of The Seven Prayers God Always Answers, claims that the prayer for salvation is one of those always answered prayers. Jesus, in his lament, states, "O Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." But clearly, if the people had been willing, Jesus would have taken them in. Anthony DeStefano, in his book, The Prayers God Always Says Yes To, makes an excellent point. We often experience God as saying no to our prayers, and there are prayers God always does say no to. For example, drug dealers travel safely up and down our nation's interstates. I suppose it's possible that they prayed for safe travel, but I assure you that the Lord was not helping them at all. They just happen to have safe trips while they are involved in criminal activity. They are free to do that. The Lord won't help us commit crimes. The Lord allows it, but the Lord won't help us. However, DeStefano argues if there are prayers that the Lord always says no to, there must be prayers that the Lord always says yes to. At the same time, DeStefano reminds the readers that our Lord God is not a checkout clerk at Walmart, where you line up what you want and he just puts it through to your shopping cart. And if anyone goes to prayer with that in mind, I assure you, they will be disappointed. They will get answers to their prayers, and it will most likely be no. An alcoholic's prayer for more alcohol cannot be answered in the affirmative by our Lord. However, any prayer that asks that we be made more like Jesus, that is a prayer that the Lord will say yes to. To be made more like Jesus, that's a prayer that the Lord will say yes to. I've been thinking about asking the Lord that I might grow a beard because I'm not able to. And while I'm at it, I was going to ask for color instead of gray. And I think the Lord will first laugh and then say no. Or the Lord might say, "Go ahead and try. Knock yourself out. Good luck with that." But if I pray to be kinder, more loving, more forgiving, more compassionate, the Lord will say, okay, let's get to work. Jesus lamented, I'm ready to answer your prayers, O Jerusalem. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. The Apostle Paul would write to the church and the churches in Philippi in Greece, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And remember Jesus' words, ask, seek, knock. The apostle will say, set your minds on things above. It may well indeed be true, the Lord is more willing to bless us with those things above than we are ready to ask for or we are ready to receive. For our Lord Jesus said, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Amen.